You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know.
Good evening and welcome to part two of The Hangover, Overcoming Emotional Addiction on There Is Life After Layoff radio show. In part one that aired back on May 8th, I started out the show by asking you a couple of key questions. So I'm going to present these questions again for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, because they're very relevant to what we're going to be talking about this evening. So here we go. Are you one of those people who can't seem to move forward after a broken relationship? And if so, why can't you seem to get over this person? More importantly, ask yourself this. Are you an emotional addict? Well, if you don't quite have the answers to these questions, or even if you answered yes and you are ready to face your truth and admit to the possibility that you just might be an emotional addict, then tonight's show is for you, because my guest is here to help guide you in reclaiming emotional sobriety. In addition to providing you with guidance, my guest is also here to take your calls this evening, and she wants to answer all of your questions and hear your comments as we continue to take responsibility for our actions, face our own truths, and tackle the very important issue of how to overcome emotional addiction in our lives. I'm Allie, your host, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. There Is Life After Layoff was a vision that I received from God, and it is my transparent journey and proof of how facing my own truths has allowed me to grow in all areas of my life while walking in my purpose. Now, together with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to push past the fear in your life as you explore new opportunities to not only move forward, but also to discover and then walk in your life's purpose. And in doing so, together we will support one another through this journey. That is why I invite you to tune in on the conversation with us on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Up to Me Radio website at up2meradio.com. And so with that said, I say thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, of course, you know this platform works because of you, our faithful listeners. You're the ones who help to drive the show and the conversation. So tonight, as I mentioned at the top of the show, my guest and I especially want to hear from you this evening and engage in some meaningful dialogue. So if you want to be part of tonight's conversation, I invite you to call in at 347-324-5246 and then press the number 1 if you want to come on air. Now, remember that you only have to press the number 1 if you want to be added into the on-air host queue to ask a question or to make an on-air comment. And we will take as many calls as time permits, and we so look forward to hearing from you this evening. So now we're ready to get started. And so for those of you who may not have tuned in on part 1 back on May 8th, of this two-part series, let me share with you how my guest and I actually got connected. And it was actually through an email that I received from Val Johnson, who is a PR strategist and the CEO of Visage Communications. And I believe she saw me post something on LinkedIn. So everybody, don't sleep on LinkedIn, because it's a great way to network and connect with some wonderful people. So let me take an opportunity to once again say thank you, Val, for reaching out and for facilitating the connection between myself and Dr. East. So thank you so much. But after a little bit of research, I immediately knew that this was definitely a God connection. And so what I did from that point on was my guest and I, we allowed him to work through us, okay? So that's just another example of one of those times when God gave me what I needed when I needed it, okay? Okay? So it's certainly without further ado, please join me in welcoming back to There Is Life After Layoff radio show, Dr. Carlia East. She is a clinical psychotherapist. She's a professor. She's an empowerment speaker. She's an author of the awesome book, The Hangover, Overcoming Emotional Addiction. So welcome back, Dr. East.
Thank you so much, Allie. I am so excited to be back and really excited to get into some live discussion with some of the listeners this evening.
Absolutely. Yes, we had such a wonderful conversation during part one. And
yes,
I'm looking
we
forward,
did.
Yeah, and the time just flew by. We just needed more time, you know?
We did, like an extra hour because we got deep, honey.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. So I'm hoping that, you know, people take the opportunity to call in and engage you in some dialogue and ask some questions that they may need some answers to, you know. We don't know that you need help if you don't ask. So
that's right.
Call on in, people. Call in. We're here to help. So, you know, this is such a great time. Not only is May my birthday month, but it also happens.
There you go.
There you go. That shameless plug, right? But it also happens to be Mental Health Awareness Month. So this, what better time to have this type of conversation? Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. This is the time to have those conversations, and it's from these types of conversations where we, you know, spawn healing. That's the only way it's going to happen. And so, you know, in our community, it's pivotal to continue to embrace and tackle these tough subject matters in a way that, you know, we all can understand and relate to.
Absolutely, absolutely. But before we get into the heart of the conversation and before callers start calling in, I want you to share a little bit about yourself with the listeners who may just be tuning in for the first time. Tell us a little bit about the personal side of Dr. East.
Well, I'm the only child, and I have always known I was here to help people. At first, I wanted to be an attorney, and I was like, eh, I don't really want to persecute someone who's innocent, you know, or vice versa. And I remember as a child, people would gravitate towards me, and so it just became second nature that I felt like I needed to heal individuals. And I've been given this gift to be non-biased and non-judgmental and to be transparent, which a lot of people claim to do, but not really.
Right.
You know, it sounds good. It's like a hashtag, you know.
Right.
But I'm really that chick, and I think that's what makes the difference is because I get to work on the stigmas associated with being an African-American clinical psychologist. You know, there's less than 1% of us in the whole United States, so I get to challenge that every day. I get to challenge being an African-American professor of psychology. You don't see, you know, many of those, and I get to come up against the battles that women face every day just by being women, and no one has an idea because we silently deal with them. We silently, you know, swallow our frustration or, you know, sometimes when we feel defeated because we don't want to present as being weak. And I am all about challenging those misconceptions and those thoughts, those stereotypes, and then rising above them. And as I tell, you know, women every day, my job is to inspire you to reclaim your power, embrace your truth, and design your destiny. And that's the only way we're going to really walk as queens as we were designed to do.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. Praise God. Okay.
Tabernacle.
Yes. Wow. I mean, that is so powerful on so many levels. What, you know, something key in what you said is about us as a community sweeping things under the rug. And I think that's a generational thing that, you know, perpetuates from way back.
Right, it's a cycle.
It continues. It's a cycle. And, you know, we're so used to just, you know, like you said, not sharing our feelings because it presents us, makes us look weak. And especially for men as well.
Yes.
And I think we talked about that a little bit in the first part about how men don't want to share their feelings because it you know, can be looked at as being weak, you know?
Right. And now as women, we are adopting some of those same, you know, concepts. And, you know, it's just key to understand that you can still be a very strong and powerful woman with just as much vulnerability when it's necessary.
Absolutely.
You know, you can still be vulnerable with your mate and still be strong. And I think society makes women feel like we can't have both. You know, I think society makes a man feel he can't be both. He can't be a strong man, you know, by definition, or a sensitive man. And
right.
so I think we have to get away from these toxic, you know, thoughts and stereotypes that society gives us by defining what our roles are, and we need to simply start defining ourselves.
Ooh, that's good right there, and not walking on what the world, banking on what the world thinks of us. Oh, my goodness, that's so
– Hashtag.
There you go.
We got to start racking up our hashtags.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Absolutely. Now, but I wanted, you know what, I wanted to ask you a question that I didn't
okay.
get a chance to ask you during the first show. Something that I read in your bio, you describe yourself as the Sapphire Woman. And I'm curious, where did that come from?
Okay, well, you know, shout out to my Zeta Phi Beta sister, Z Phi Till We Die. However, little plug.
Right.
You know, royal blues have always been my favorite colors. I mean, I pledged blue, and, you know, those have always been colors that I felt spoke of royalty and beauty. And, you know, blue also stands for peace and serenity and calmness and, you know, renewal and safety and healing. And so when I was thinking of what is something that encompasses what I do, how I want to heal women, I want to empower them, I want to, you know, help them reclaim, in the famous words of Maxine Waters, reclaim their time. You know, what is something that I know I can put out there that if you hear that word, you're like, hell yeah, I'm a sapphire woman. Absolutely. You know, that fire in it, but not that angry
right.
fire, but that passionate fire. You know what I mean? That healing fire and that power. And so I was going back and forth with my web design, and I said, you know, what about sapphire? Because I wanted to put blue in there. I said, what about sapphire? And we were like, oh, Sapphire Woman. And, you know, snap, snap, and that was it.
That was
you know?
It. Oh,
and
wow.
I knew that
okay.
I knew that was it. And I have been very pleased at the response that I get from women, because when they hear that and when I tell them you are already a Sapphire Woman, it's just to hear those words is so empowering, you
wow.
know, just those words. And so I wanted the name to have power, and it does.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely, because it caught my attention. I was like, ooh. What is that?
Right. It makes you want to be like, what's she talking about? What's she doing over there?
Right. Exactly. So let's define for our listeners, somebody who, like I said, may not have been on a part of the first part, what are we talking about when we talk about emotional addiction so that we're all on the same page?
Okay. I will give you, actually, I'll read a little bit out of the first chapter of the book, and it's step one, Am I an Emotional Addict, because I think it sums it up best. Mm-hmm. An emotional addict is an individual who is addicted and emotionally attracted to the highs and lows of a relationship. When this happens, the emotional chemistry in the affected individual's brain and receptors create an addiction. As a result, the addict adjusts him or herself to a roller coaster of emotions and feelings. And so, basically, we get addicted to all of the sensory data, to the emotions, sight, you know, the sight, smell, touch, taste, when we are with someone, and then when we part ways, we still haven't healed from those addictions. And that's what keeps us going back. You know, also what keeps us going back as emotional addicts is that we've never seen a good example or healthy, let me use that word, healthy example
okay.
of a relationship.
Right.
And so we kind of go by what we've seen, and then that becomes what we define ourselves as, you know, as a mate in that relationship, and we become addicted to that particular cycle. One of the things about addiction is you got to think habit,
mm-hmm.
right? And when we have habits, they are hard to break.
Yes.
They are hard to change. They take work, you know, yes. to change a habit. And so how we see ourselves in relationships and what we think a healthy relationship looks like, those are all addictive properties that add to our cycle of being in and out of relationships, as I call return to sender, keep going back to the same person, you know, over and over
wow.
and over again,
right.
or dating a prototype, right? Different social security, same person, okay?
Right,
and so
right.
that's what causes these, like, cyclical relationships that we find ourselves in.
Wow, that's powerful. Very powerful. What I want to let people know, hey, if you want to be a part of this conversation, please call us 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be brought into the on-air host queue, okay? We're taking callers throughout the show, so please press 1 if you want to come on air. So now that you define that for us and we know what we're talking about, I wanted to make one quick point, though, before we move forward. You said something that was key, that this does not, the emotional addiction does not only relate to romantic relationships.
Right. Right. It's not just about intimate relationships. Absolutely. Okay. You know, for me, I have been emotionally addicted to a homegirl. You know, it's because they become that go-to person. You know, your ride or die, right? They become that go-to person for you. You rely on them emotionally, and sometimes you rely on them to an extent because maybe you're not getting that fulfillment, that nurturing, you know, that security from other parts of your life or from your mate, or maybe you don't have a mate, and maybe you haven't quite learned how to love yourself even yet. And so you look for people to fill, you know, these voids and kind of rescue you in these situations. And so that will sometimes cause you to lean on your girlfriends a little bit more than you normally would. Not that that's a problem, because that's what friends are for.
Right.
However, what ends up happening is that when that friend maybe does not treat you with the level of respect or doesn't reciprocate the love that you give to them, you tend to say, oh, you know, it's okay. You know, that's my girl, you know, and you still continue to give more of yourself and more of yourself. And then we realize that we are in two different places, but you don't know how to let go of that friend.
Wow.
You know, you don't know how to separate yourself because you feel a sense of loyalty. You feel a sense of, I have to say, almost like that's your squad, you know, like the creed. You don't leave your crew. And so I think that plays a role into why we tend to stay connected more so to friendships when we really need to, as I call them, sit her on the shelf. You know, you don't have to let go of the friendship, but you need to place it in the proper priority. You need to create boundaries for your self-preservation. And so in teaching women that is an emotional addictive property as well, not just intimate relationship, but social relationships as well.
Absolutely. And you know what that reminds me? During this season of my life, God revealed to me that he's going to bring people in and out of my life for a reason and a season. But it's up to me to define when that season is over. Or, like you said, you may have to distance yourself from that relationship or that friendship. And like you said, not let it go completely, but just, you know, don't touch it. Don't play with it so much. Don't pick it up off the shelf. You know, just let it sit there and admire it, you know.
Right. And you have to recognize that those seasons are changing. And so, you know, one of the things that I had to do, if someone out there is asking, well, how do I do that, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I did was I recognized that I now had expectations for a friendship that she was no longer able to deliver. That is what I recognized. Not that she was a bad friend, you know, not that she was a backstabber, because she wasn't any of those things, but I had expectations for a friendship and she wasn't there.
Wow.
And so I had a conversation with her, you know, I had to woman up. And I said, listen, I love you to death, you know, however, I have expectations for a friendship that I know right now you're not able to meet. So I want you to do what you need to do for yourself. I won't have any expectations of you. And then that way we don't have to hurt each other. You know, we don't have to go back and forth. I'll just meet you where you are. And it wasn't a disrespectful thing. It was a grown woman thing. Now, did she like it? No. But guess what? That was her problem.
Exactly.
You know, that was her issue. I did not say, you know, you're trifling, I ain't dealing with you, and, you know, all that. That wasn't necessary.
Not what you say, but how you say it, you know.
Exactly.
You got to choose your words carefully. Guess what? We got a caller. We have a caller.
Yes.
So if your last four digits of your number are 8483, hello, you are on the air with Allie and Dr. East. What is your question or your comment?
Hi, Allie. Hi, Dr. East.
Hi.
Valerie.
Hey, Valerie.
Hey. I have so enjoyed the segments, both the first one and this one. They both really hit home for me. And it's just been a lot of great discussion and a lot of meat in both of them. So thank you so very much, Dr. East, for your insight and everything that you are sharing. And my question is, do you find that emotional addiction also includes, or how women actually define themselves, you know, or not knowing who they are, or not being able to understand, you know, how to kind of move forward in their lives? Do you find that that's considered an emotional addiction as well?
I will tell you this, and that's a great question. It's all related. What I find is that as women, when we don't have a good concept of who we are, what our what I call our boundaries and our deal breakers are, you know, what are things that we're willing to say, you're not crossing this line, and then what are our compromises? What are we willing to move and budge on? Sometimes we don't have those set in stone. We're just kind of going by what we feel at the moment, and those are things that are all about your moral compass, you know, and who you are as a woman. And so when we don't have this foundation, we tend to define who we are and what we are, particularly in as it relates to being in a relationship, by either what we see, what we've been told, or as I call it, the Mattel syndrome, the fantasy life of happily ever after, right? And those three things become almost like a script or map that we follow in relationships, when the truth of the matter is every relationship technically is unique and should follow its own script and should be written as freshly as, you know, as it's being done. And instead, we kind of have already made an ending to the relationship before it begins. Think about it on first dates. We will go on a first date, some women, not all, but we will go on a first date, and we planned out the next 6 months over one date. Boo, it was one date. You got a good meal and maybe some good conversation. Be appreciative of that and move on. This is not...
It's not a lifetime situation.
You didn't sign a contract. And I think what happens is we get caught up. We can't help it. We get caught up in society saying there's a limited amount of men out there for us. There's a limited amount. You know, these are things, you know, what does a good woman do, or what makes a good wife, or what makes a good this? And so we have all these pieces that we're kind of putting together, the perfect person, and we're getting lost. Our root is getting lost. Our aura is getting lost. And so that authenticity becomes blurred. And that's sometimes why we don't have healthy relationships, because we need to go back to basics, rip off all the nonsense, and get to the white meat, you know, of who you are, and build that up and love that first. And then whomever is designed for you, trust me, honey, bees to honey.
Right.
He'll show up.
Right. Exactly right.
Did that answer your question? Because I tend to go
it
on
does.
Okay.
it really does. You know, my husband and I, we have a marriage ministry, and a lot of the wives that we, you know, talk to tend to have lost themselves just based on or not really understanding, you know, who they are. I mean, I have to be a testament of that, you know, myself.
We all have. Kind of,
you know, trying to find yourself again, trying to, you know, understand that you have a purpose, you know, and it's
That's
not
right.
just defined by you being a wife or by,
right.
you know, the roles that you play, but you actually have a purpose, you know, and that speaks, you know, volumes for me. Once you embrace that and understand what your purpose is, it's like it's so much easier to move forward, you know.
Right. I'll ask women that have been, you know, married or in relationships, and I'll say, well, what, you know, when they come in saying, I just, you know, I'm kind of unhappy, I just kind of feel like I lost me, and I say, what do you like to do? And it starts off with, well, we do this, and we do that. Wait
right,
a minute,
right.
hold up. I said you. What do you like? Like, you know you allowed to like something, right? So what I have to remind women is that that individuality that you have, that gap between your teeth, that stretch mark on your hip, honey, those are all beauty marks. You know what I mean? They're specifically designed for you, and someone who loves you wholeheartedly, unconditionally, and completely will embrace all of that. But what we have to recognize is that we need to know and value our own power and our own skill sets of who we are before we can invite someone else in, and that person should be in addition to our greatness, not the absolute value of our greatness. And that's what makes the difference. When your mate was attracted to you initially, when he saw you because you were different, because you stood out amongst the 20 others. He saw something in you that made him say, I kind of want to see what's going on here. So there was your uniqueness that he saw. So why would you mold yourself into whatever, you know, what do I say, coming to America, whatever you like. You know, why would you mold yourself into that when it was your originality that attracted him in the first place? It was your spiciness. It was maybe your wit. Hell, it might have maybe been your quirky personality. You know what I mean? But those are things that he fell in love with. So keep those things. Keep your outside friends. Keep your social circle. That's what makes you you.
Yes.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Allie. I appreciate you allowing me to be able to just ask the questions. And I so appreciate, you know, your responses. I guess I have a passion for women and just for just women becoming free of that. You know, because I know what that feels like to be
break these
in
chains,
bondage.
Honey.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, and good luck on your ministry. That's amazing. You know, really.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much, Valerie. I appreciate your call.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, Dr. East, we have another caller.
Okay, I'm ready.
Yes, if your last four digits are 8727, you're on the air with Allie and Dr. East. What is your question or comment?
Oh, my God, Dr. East, you are my girl tonight.
Did I just get all your edges straight? Did I just get all your edges straight, honey?
Girl, I ain't even got no hair. You just got my scalp straight.
Love it.
Oh, my God. I'm like, this lady is in my head. She in my house. She in my heart. She in my spirit. My mama told me I was an only girl. What my sister right here. This my whole life you talking about. This is Shermaine Shar Marshall with Changing Faces Makeup Artistry. When I tell you I have plugged, I'm coming off the movie set right now, but I have been listening intently to this conversation. And I'm just going to say, we lie to ourselves so much to impress other people, and the damage that comes out of it, sometimes it ain't even about the other person, it's about us. We self-sabotage all the time for the sake of trying to get validation from somebody whether it be a man, a child, or a sister friend. When you talked about your sister friend that you girl, let me tell you something. I ain't got enough time with this radio station because me and you ain't just sit down and talk. Oh, my God. You the bomb. That's all I'm going to say. You the
bomb.com. Thank you.
I mean, because, you know, when I think about the things and the challenges that I've been through domestically with my ex-husbands, I did the same thing. I married I married one of my husbands twice. Okay. Just stupid. Just thinking that, you know, my emotions were going to change. You know, after he done abused me the first time, what makes you think he's going to change? There's nothing different that he did to change himself. So why would I think that if I did something different, he would change?
Right.
He is who he is, you know, and oh, my God. I'm so excited about you. You just don't even understand, girl. You just, Dr. East, let me tell you, I just pray that God blesses you to a point to where you can reach the masses of women, because there are so many women walking around here going through the very same thing. And I always tell Allie, we are all going through the same thing. We just walking around different bodies.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter if you're black or white or Hispanic or short, tall, fat, skinny, whatever. We have so many challenges in our lives that we need help with, and you having this opportunity to open up this segment, oh, my God, it's so needed. When is your conference?
So
I'm coming. I'm coming to your conference. When it is?
I am open to all sponsorships. I am open to all sponsorships, honey.
Yes. Oh, my God,
I know,
you are amazing.
I know. Thank you so much, Char. We don't have enough time for that conversation
we
tonight.
We really don't.
They'll be turning the lights off on us.
Oh, my God. But thank you so much for bringing an awareness of this mental issue that we suffer with, that
yes.
we sweep under the carpet, you know,
yes.
like we were talking earlier, Allie. You know, we sweep stuff under the carpet because we're in pain and we don't want anybody to know we're in pain.
Yeah.
And when God, when we have our, I know for me personally, I had to get my relationship with God in order for me to be revealed to myself.
Right.
And, you know, when you think you all of that and a bag of chips and a cherry on top and all of that, and God showed you something different, your reality hits you really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I thought it took this to get this. And God said, no, all it takes is me to get you whatever you want. But no, you ain't messing with these bozo the clowns. You know, so. But praise God for Jesus, honey.
Yes, yes.
And thank God for you, my sister. Thank God for you. And I hope to one day really just meet you and just hug you.
Thank
and
you.
Let you know how
so
much of an awesome, awesome gift you have.
Thank you so much. I am so humbled by that. I appreciate that. You just don't know. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sis.
Okay, you're welcome, Allie Ward. I'll talk to you guys later. I'm still listening in, but I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thank you, sweetie. All right. We have another caller.
Okay.
Okay, so if your last four digits of your number end in 2559, you're on the air with Allie and Dr. East. What is your question or your comment?
Well, good evening, ladies. I'm enjoying this. This is Dr. G. This is my first time listening in, and I apologize for not hearing the first segment, but I can gather what it was all about. But I have one thing to share. I have often questioned when you have segments like this,
mm-hmm.
be it on the media or just in a public arena,
mm-hmm.
the person who needs to hear it doesn't hear it.
Yeah.
How do you address that particular person or persons who need to hear things? Even if you have already visited the conversation in a straightforward way, it doesn't reach them. So what's another way to go about getting that person to recognize, look within, react with care, and proceed? What do you do? How do you do that?
Well, you know, in my experience, I have to just be straight up with you. If an individual is not ready to embrace and to start making those changes, there's nothing you can do to convince them or to alter them.
Right.
Because it is an individualized, interpersonal decision, you know, that we all make to start making change, even though we may see examples of the benefit of those changes all around us. So my advice would be to stay steadfast in your mission of healing and recognizing your truth and who you are and just lead by example, you know, and just continue to hope and pray that that individual does see the light. Because if you push them or pull them and it's not in alignment, it is not time for them to make that change, they will, in my book, what I call relapse. And
well,
they will return back to original behaviors because it didn't start from their core. It didn't start from internal to external. It came from external to internal, and that's just a different pathway.
What I also discover in some individuals, they become exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And
they do.
you have to remove yourself to take a deep breath to go back in to be around that individual.
Uh-huh.
And you go back in because of the love you have for that person.
Yeah.
And then you readdressed what concerns you with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. They have to be ready. They can only be ready when they begin to look at themselves.
Yes.
However, there are so many steps to that journey. But in the interim, those who love that individual become so exhausted, and you begin to declassify them in terms of what category are they going to fit in your life? What kind of friend are they? And when you care so much,
right,
you do have to walk away sometimes.
Yeah.
No,
can.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, is that, you know, that love is what makes you go back, but that love is also what makes you stand still.
Mm.
Because have to make those particular measures themselves, because then you are literally exhausting yourselves. And let me put a spin on this. See, everybody want to play the victim, but are not really the victim. See, they like it when you come up to them and you try to help them and guide them and give them that attention, because that's ultimately what they're seeking anyway, because they don't know how to find it in a healthy manner. And so by being the victim and by creating maybe dynamics of sabotage in their lives, they get this, you know, attention where people are empathetic and sympathetic towards them. And sometimes you have to stop and learn how to self-preserve. Because in order for you to be strong in the future, not only for them but for yourselves, you have to make sure that your core is together.
Right. I totally agree. And also it's a factor that when you're experiencing insecurities, there's a trust level.
Yeah.
And because of that trust level, they can't get past the next journey.
That's
they can't
right.
go into another road and say, okay, now I can address this, now I can look at this way, because they don't trust anything or anyone. So they may receive good information that they need to internalize, but because their trust level is so deep, they may never get there.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct on that, caller. Oh, my goodness. And you know what? Just to piggyback on your point, you can't give to somebody what you don't have. So, like, if when you talked about them being exhausting, if, you know, sometimes you might not need to answer that phone. If you know who it is, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because if they're taking so much out of you and, you know, you see that they're not receiving what you're saying anyway, sometimes that phone is just going to have to go to voicemail.
And listen, that's one of the issues,
it.
Allie, with women. That's one of the things that I talk about with us, is that we, again, follow that script where we are supposed to be there for other people all the time. And no, we're not, because your time is your gift. You're gifting that person with your time, with lending them your ear, with giving you their advice. And I'm sorry, I don't buy gifts for unworthy people, so I'm not gifting unworthy people with my gifts. I'm just being straight up.
I hear you. And it doesn't make me a bad person.
It just allows me to put things into perspective. If there's that girlfriend that you have to prepare yourself for the phone call. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, like, oh, Lord, give me, wrap me around with your arms,
Jesus
before I get on
the
phone.
And you know what? It's not always a friend. A lot of times it can be a relative.
Oh, yeah, family is, you don't put them on the shelf, too, by the way.
Yeah, right.
No one
That's
is
right.
immune from the shelf life.
No. Well, it was great talking to the both of you. I'm going to continue listening.
Thank you so much for your call.
You guys have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Wow, we've had some great callers this evening.
Yeah.
And so if you want to come on air and have ask a question from Dr. East, please call us at 347-324-5246. And make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. We're continuing to take callers this evening. And so as we continue moving forward with the show, I want to talk about something that's very important and is very relevant for the times that we live in, Dr. East.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the impact that social media contributes to a person who is an emotionally addicted or vulnerable person. What kind of impact does that have?
Okay, so, you know, those items you can definitely find in step 2 of my book, Society is Your Pusher Man, but I really want to go more into Facebook specifically and things of that nature.
Okay.
What has begun to happen is, first of all, we're all kind of addicted to social media one way or another, whether we need to do it for work or to keep track of our kids, you know, lifestyles, what have you. But however, what's happening is that we are beginning to validate, and I just want to talk to the ladies, validate who we are by so many hearts or likes. You know, it's we will spend 5 or 10 minutes taking what we think is the perfect selfie, you know, put that out on social media, and then we wait. We wait to see how many people are going to like, you know, how many people are going to heart, how many people are going to comment on our pictures, and that motivates us, and that gives us, you know, higher self-esteem. And my thing is, your self-esteem is self-esteem, and it's about how you feel about you, and we are giving that power over to quote-unquote friends on Facebook. You know, that don't know our address, don't know our kids, you know, don't know what our favorite color is, and
right.
we're holding them accountable or giving them the
right.
power to define our beauty.
Yes.
Or define when we slay. Uh-huh. Honey, you slay just by waking up in the morning.
Amen. You better say it. You better say it.
I mean, honestly, we really do. We are very powerful, industrial, organized, you know, we have finesse, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Women, we can finesse mm-hmm. the hell out of a situation, you know, and we are amazing, and yet we are defining ourselves by social media. Social media also does a good job at perpetually putting things in our face, telling us what we're not.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
well, you
yes.
need to work on your skin being like this, or let's wrap your body in this so you can lose weight, or let's work on that cellulite, or, you know, hey, perms are, you know, relaxers are out, let's go natural. Then there's the other side saying, well, wait a minute now, relaxers are great. You know, there's
right,
all
right,
these
right,
things
right, right,
that
right.
are constantly being, excuse me, thrown in our faces. And then the other thing, other than how we look, is, well, if you want a man, if you want a mate, you know, and there's all these numbers and these ratios and these things that they give us, and they give us a sense of urgency, almost anxiety, like, oh, my goodness, I'm over 30. I'm over 35. I haven't had a child yet, because clearly that defines me as a woman. I haven't gotten married yet because, again, I'm not a woman unless I get married. You know, and that becomes our belief system to where we will sometimes jump into relationships. We will marry ourselves off before we've even been asked. We will... You know,
wow.
we will put ourselves in these compromising positions because social media told us your clock is ticking, time is running out. And when you do that, you're doing an injustice to yourself. You are, first of all, not allowing yourself to mature and bloom and blossom into the greatness and to the amount of worth that you have, and you are almost like bargain basement shopping for a boo. Who does that?
Oh, that's funny.
Right? Hashtag. Who
hashtag.
Does that?
Hashtag. Oh, my gosh.
So I'm going to lessen
know,
who I am. I'm not going to do my healing, and I'm going to go ahead and compromise, I don't know, about 50% of my standards because, you know, girl, he got a good job. No. No, no, no.
M.D. But the thing is, when you do that, people don't realize that when you do that, it's an insult to God. Because what does he say you are?
Exactly.
You are insulting God,
mm-hmm.
what he created you to be.
Right.
So think about that. You know,
right.
enjoy, get to the point where you enjoy your own company.
Yes.
Being yourself.
When I learned to be single and sassy.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Instead of single and lonely. When I learned to be single and sassy, I kid you not, honey, I thought I was everything. I had my job. I didn't have any kids. I was single. I could travel. I was doing my thing. And God was like, here your husband go, boop.
There you go.
I said, really right now? You know, really right now?
You
like,
having
right now?
Too much fun.
Right. I got a trip planned. I can't take no boo with me on that trip, really. And it was something I did not expect, was not looking for, right, was not looking for. I was so happy with who I was finally. And he said, now you ready.
Now you ready.
Now you ready.
Don't,
and this
if you
person,
don't pass the test, you're going to repeat
right.
it.
Right. And this person that I, you know, my husband, I had known him for 3 years, never looked at him sideways, up never. Like what? Like, hey, honey, you know, and
right.
we're moving. But when he said, okay, now you ready, baby, my husband walked past me. I said, uh-oh, hello.
You had a whole new attitude.
Right. I ain't seen you, but I see you now. And that made all the difference. But I'm telling you, when I was out there looking and trying to
yeah.
present myself a certain way and be a certain way and be
yeah.
places and put myself amongst certain, you know, individuals in order to meet, you know, good candidates, you know, stuff like
right.
that.
Right.
I always was met with the wah-wah, you know, at
yeah,
the end
right.
of about 30 to 90 days. So I just stopped.
Yeah.
And I started yeah. looking inward and doing my work and my healing.
Absolutely. And you know what? That leads me into this next point. It was my daughter who actually kind of exposed me to this show, and I'm sure you've probably heard of it, Catfish. So
oh
that
God.
Brings me, yes, honey, we got to talk about it, about the dangers of these dating sites. I think, you know, I don't know. I can't even say nothing. What is
okay.
your take on it?
All right, now I hope everybody ready because we about ready to blast off. So, listen, this is the situation with the online dating. I actually don't have a problem with it, to be
okay.
perfectly honest. I have dated online.
Okay.
Guilty, sure have. Met some great people, dated
okay.
a couple for quite a long, you know, long stint of time, but distance was an issue, our careers, and we just said,
right.
you know what? I don't want to shift my life for this, vice versa, and we were cool. Still friends to this day.
Okay.
This is the issue.
Okay.
I feel like what we do is we take online dating and we forget that we're still meeting the person's representative. Okay? When I set up my profile, honey, I might have gone through 50 pictures, narrowed them down to 10, sent them to all 20 of my top friends, and had them vote on one. Like, that's literally how serious it was. You get me?
Wow.
You know, everything I typed up, I made sure people spell checked. You know, and made
right.
sure it was right. Does that sound like me? It took me forever to hit publish,
right.
you know, to put it out there. But this is the deal. We get online and we do these serial dating or we go on these apps that are not encouraging for healthy relationships. They're encouraging for booty calls, you know, but they're not encouraging for healthy relationships. So you got to think about it. If you go on a site such as, you know, maybe something like Plenty of Fish or Tinder, you know, or any of those types, I'm just being honest from my own personal experience and experience of my clients, you're normally going to meet individuals that are going to want to hook up.
Okay.
You know, but just like there's other sites such as Match.com, which I actually do like, and I do talk to my clients about Match.com. I do talk to my clients about Black People Meet,
okay.
you know, .com, and I do talk to my clients about eHarmony because each one of those have a different price point. But
okay.
needless to say, I talk to them about some of the sites that allow you to at least have a different – pool of applicants. You know, they're more serious because they're making an investment now. You
right.
know, it's not free. And
right.
so you're putting something forward. But then there's rules to dating online. You know, the first date you go to a public place. The first date you
exactly.
let everybody know where you're going.
Exactly.
You keep the date during the day so that you keep your feet on the ground because sometimes we ain't been on a date in a while and we get a little excited and a couple Mai Tais later, the walk of shame. You know, it's just basic rules. So you don't
right.
let them pick you up from home because you don't know if they're crazy.
That's
These
right.
are basic
right.
things. And
right.
so I feel like social media, if handled correctly, if these dating sites are done in a mature fashion where you are simply dating, getting to know people, and are honest about the fact that you're dating, you can have a very healthy experience.
Okay.
But if you're using it to find a husband, That's not what that site is for. It's to give you an opportunity to connect with people that you otherwise wouldn't because you're too busy hustling and grinding and building your empire.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. It's just, you know, it's kind of after I watched that show and she explained to me what catfishing was, you know, I was like, oh my God, what? Because I always
well, you know, some of those scenarios, folk
yeah.
are just not using their good sense.
They're not.
You know. I don't want
crazy.
To poke fun at anyone, but how you in love with somebody and you ain't met them in person at all?
Right.
But
you're
yeah, sending money and
ridiculous.
Everything else. Yeah, like come
some
on, man.
A little ridiculous, yeah.
And
but
again, that's the common sense stuff. You know, even
yeah.
if you meet someone in person, let's say you meet a gentleman, you know, at the grocery store or at a gas station or what have you. If you've been dating him for a certain period of time and you've never been to his house, like ever,
it's a problem, isn't it?
But he's been to yours, or you? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Antenna.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Red flag, waving, hello.
But see,
waving.
When a woman has a good sense of who she is, okay, when she has tapped down to her organic roots
mm-hmm.
of who she is, then she's able to call BS when she sees it a mile away, and she doesn't allow herself to even, rationalize, that's the word, rationalize that behavior because it's not acceptable because it's one of her deal breakers.
Absolutely. just it's all about being safe and, you know, making sure that you are going to be safe. Like you said, you know, letting people know, you know, friends, family, whatever, you know, that this is a situation that you're in, you know, because there are people that care about you, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, it's all from a place of love, and, you know, that's just it. Bottom line, it's not meant to, you know, no, we don't want to make you, want you to be unhappy, but we also want you to be safe.
Listen, when I would go on dates with a gentleman that I met online, I would have my girlfriend and my mom, and I would, you know, let them know, listen, we're supposed to meet at 7, call me 7:30, 7:45, check in. If I answer the phone and everything's good, you know, we can keep moving. If I answer the phone and there's some awkward tone or we had keywords that I would say, I need y'all to be on the way. And that literally was it.
That was it. Yeah, right. Gotcha. That makes sense. But, yeah, but, you know, I love the fact that my daughter is watching the program because it's making her smart. She's seeing what's going on. She understands what's out there. And she's like,
right,
you know, this is just an example of what not to do. And I'm like, you're absolutely correct.
Right.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately, people are deceptive. And, you know, what I have to remind my ladies is this, and this is so important. There is no problem with being hungry. You know, there's nothing wrong with you wanting, you know, a taste of something better and something finer. But, honey, don't be thirsty and swallow any and everything.
You might choke.
You know, so I tell women all the time, I may be hungry, but I'm not thirsty.
There you go. That makes good sense. Perfect sense. I wanted to ask you this, because I just recently went through a situation where I lost two people in my family. And one of the things that I did do that was probably one of the best decisions I made, I did seek out grief counseling and a grief support group, okay, which was wonderful. But one of the first things that they taught us or told us in the support group was, while you're in a situation where you have suffered this type of loss, don't make emotional or hasty decisions, especially regarding relationships. Can you talk a little bit about why we shouldn't do that?
Yes. Bottom line is that you are emotionally vulnerable, more vulnerable than you have ever been. And so you will find yourself even clinging to individuals who beforehand didn't even make it into your core. Mm. But now you are grieving and you are in pain and you just want someone to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, you just feel like you can't handle this by yourself, and so you end up falling, you know, basically in their laps.
Yeah.
And if they are more of a predatory type, then they will be your savior. They will be your rescuer at that time. And you will find yourself connecting to them simply because they were there to help you through a difficult time. You're not connecting to them because they have earned that connection or because you organically feel it. You literally do a transfer of emotion, which is, you know, what happens, and you transfer all that feeling to them, and you also feel indebted to them. So after you've gotten past the funeral, right, and gotten past, you know, maybe the individual is now out of the hospital, now you feel like, oh, no, I kind of can stand on my two feet now. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, but this person was there for me.
Gotcha.
You get what I mean? This person was there for me and stood by me, so how do I, you know, let them go or let them down? I can't do that. I don't want to abandon them because they didn't abandon me, you know, and we hold ourselves accountable for relationships that weren't even established. And so that's why it's so important, you know, even in grief and even in stress, to maintain some sense of independence, to cleave to those that are maybe not, you know, sexually intimate with you or, you know, emotionally intimate with you on a relationship level, so that you don't make those, you know, rash decisions.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. Yeah, that was just so key, and I just wanted to address that, you know, being that, like I said, that, you know, I just went through that and still going through it, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time, but you know what? You just take one day at a time, so I appreciate you addressing
that. Your mind is so distracted when you're grieving or when you're, you know, grieving the living or grieving the dead. You know, your mind is very distracted, and so, you know, you're not focusing on the normalcies that you would or the relationship or any of that. You don't even recognize that they partially moved in. You just know they're there for you every night, and that is comforting.
Right, exactly.
You know, you're not even paying attention to what's actually happening because you're so engulfed in needing, you know, that security, and that's why it's important to have a squad of individuals that can provide that for you so you don't just transfer that emotion or that neediness onto someone else.
Right, right. Wow, powerful. Well, you look at the time.
I'm so mad and in my feelings that it's 7:55. Listen.
But before, you know, this is another great episode. We had some great callers. Before
we close out,
let us know, how can we support you and purchase a copy of your book?
Well, you can support me by going to thesapphirewoman.com. That's my website, thesapphirewoman.com. There you can subscribe to my email list where you'll get a monthly newsletter from me. You can also purchase my book, The Hangover, Overcoming Emotional Addiction, as well as have opportunities to get a copy of my free ebook, Don't Wait for Love, Become Love, A Lady Operating with Vision and Enrichment. You also can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. My handle is at the Sapphire Diva, again, at the Sapphire Diva for all three. Or if you want to send me a personal message or an email, I welcome those. I enjoy them. The email is info@thesapphirewoman.com.
Awesome, awesome. And speaking of your book, you have agreed to gift a copy of your ebook.
Yes.
To one of our listeners.
I will inscribe it and send it to you. The ebook is Don't Wait for Love, Become Love, 7 Strategies for Self-Love and Empowerment.
Wow.
And what the book basically does is gives women a 7 strategy plan on all the things that they should work on encompassing, you know, in order for them to really be women of power, truth, and destiny. So it's kind of like a mini step to The Hangover, so to
speak. Okay. Awesome. So here's what we're going to do. The first listener who can email me the reason why you want to reclaim emotional sobriety in your life, you know, you don't have to write a dissertation, just a couple of lines about why, you know, something like this would help you. You can email me that to thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. Again, thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. We're, you know, something short and sweet, and we'll go through that. If we get a lot of responses or a lot of emails, then we'll
do a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah, we can
do a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just email that to me, and, you know, we'll be happy to get that to you.
Absolutely.
So thank you once again, Dr. East, for
thank you, Allie.
Your commitment to inspiring women to reclaim their power, embrace their truth, and design their destiny.
Yes, ma'am.
It's been awesome. I look forward to us having more conversations on other
topics. Oh, please invite me back. I would love to come back.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So, you know what? This has just been a wonderful, wonderful topic and wonderful episode this evening. So thank you to all of my callers. Please plan to tune in for my next show on Tuesday, June 12th. And don't forget to listen to all the past recorded podcasts of this show. You can access them on the There Is Life After Layoff show page, which is available at uptomeradio.com. That's up, the number 2, meradio.com. And we are also on iTunes and on the mobile app Stitcher, which is a free downloadable app for your mobile device. And you can find us on both of those by searching for Up To Me Radio. And also, please continue to follow me on my blog at thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And remember to follow us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram at AllieWard45. And you can follow Up To Me Radio on Twitter at Up To Me Radio. And remember to like us on Facebook by searching for There Is Life After Layoff. And Up To Me Radio can be found at Up To Me Radio. So on behalf of myself and the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, I say thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us on this journey as God continues to use us as vessels of change in the lives of others. And until next time, we continue to urge you to be encouraged in yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards. Just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you, and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready. What God has for you, tell yourself, no. In you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Failure. Known has come from you alone.